The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about acting and Hollywood and all kinds of stuff about the entertainment business with the Hollywood icon, legendary actor Eric Roberts, star of movies such as Star 80, The Pope of Greenwich Village, Runaway Train, King of the Gypsies. Let's see, what else? The Dark Knight, a Batman movie. I think It's My Party, and so many others. Eric is just an amazing talent. He's been in over 750 projects and counting, and he's a really nice guy, and he's written a wonderful, very telling, very open-hearted book called Runaway Train, or The Story of My Life. So far, we're going to be joined by Eric's lovely wife, Eliza, who's his creative partner and manager, and also Mike Tove, who put together a project called Yard Sailing, a short film that's on the festival circuit now, along with Eric and Eliza. So there's a lot to talk about right here on Guys Guys Radio. So strap in and get ready, because we're going to have some fun today.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage, or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK House Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and today's guests are one of Hollywood's most fascinating and enduring couples. Eric Roberts has appeared in over 750 films and TV projects, earned Academy Award and Golden Globe nominations, and built a career unlike anyone else in entertainment. Alongside him is actor, casting director, producer, and creative partner Eliza Roberts, whose unwavering support and perspective have helped shape one of Hollywood's most remarkable love stories. And we're also going to meet filmmaker Michael Tove, who, along with Tom Logan, created and developed Yard Sailing, which I just watched today for the second time, a short film featuring Michael, and Eliza. And today we're going to discuss Eric's candid and compelling autobiography that I just finished. It's called Runaway Train, a book that explores fame, family, addiction, redemption, resilience, and the power of second chances, and his ongoing legendary acting career, along with Eliza's perspectives and Mike's journey to getting a film made in Hollywood in these crazy days. So welcome the three of you. Welcome Mike, welcome Eric, welcome Eliza to Guys Guys Radio. I'm so thrilled to have you here. I'm not used to having juggling three at a time, but we'll make a go of it. So Eric, Before we got on the air, Eric, you mentioned that Eliza had urged you to write Runaway Train. Why now, and why is the title Runaway Train?
Well, there is no why now, because it could be why anytime. Because for years, people have said to me, when are you going to write your book? And I've said, for years, I'm not writing a book. And then all my friends are coming to me. When are you going to write your book? I'm not writing a book, guys. and then publishers started calling me. When are you going to write a book? I'm not writing a book, guys. And my wife comes to me and goes, when are you writing a book?
Now you're writing a book.
So I said to my wife, will you help me? And she goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I'm going to embellish. I need help. Because I knew I would. So I asked the editor and I wrote a book. It took me 2 years to write the book. I did not name the book. The publisher named the book because they said your life is a runaway train.
Mm-hmm. And of course, that's a Academy Award nominated film that you were in, and you got a nod for best actor in that, I believe, or best supporting or best actor. You and John Voight were together.
He got a nod for best actor. I got a nod for best supporting actor.
There you go. And a great film. And I also watched that one with my son. He said, I want to watch that again. So,
I love hearing that.
Fantastic. He's got really good taste. He's 13. So Eric's also been a star of Pofegrinder's Village, one of my all-time favorite movies with Mickey Rourke and Eric, Dark Knight and Star 80 and so many other projects, obviously over 750. So you started out in New York, and I think we're around the same age, even though you look a lot better, but we were in the Upper West Side of New York City back around 1980 or so, and it was very different. You used to hang out at Cafe Central. I remember there was a place called Ruel's on Columbus Avenue, and I don't think people remember that the Upper West Side was nowhere back then. Tell us about your experience back there and how it shaped you for future performances.
Well, when I got hip to the Upper West Side, it was 1976.
Okay.
Buy an entire brownstone for $40,000 that had no water and no electricity. And it was like that. And you could buy these whole buildings for no money that had nothing in them. And you had to redo them. And everybody was doing that about 1976, 7, 8, 9, 81, and 2. And by 82, it started to get hip. And by 85, 87, 88, it was the place to be.
Yeah, you know,
and I just love the Upper West Side because it had the park, but it was a little bit away from the action. But then it became the action, so yeah. I left.
Now you've experienced extraordinary highs and lows along your career. Looking back, what period of your life was the most difficult for you to write about? Because I have to tell everybody out there: first of all, read this book. It's the best autobiography I ever read because it's so. From the heart, you just opened up and let it out there. And there's things like, whoa, I don't even, Eliza, were you surprised at some of this stuff that came out during the writing process?
A little bit. I mean, that's kind of fun because when you're married for a long time, you're like, wow, do we know all the stories? What do we do? And then to learn a couple of new things or just new details was great. So yes, I was surprised.
Like a great face she made one day. She goes, you robbed a drugstore? What? that was kind of fun.
Now, you draw on in your acting career, I forget the name of the technique. You mentioned it in the book where, you know, you can make yourself cry. You think about something that happened earlier in life. And you had such a tough childhood because you were getting it from both sides, your mom and your dad. How did you get through that? And secondly, how do you draw off of that, those experiences to make you such a wonderful actor?
Well, thank you so much for all those kind words. I thought I invented method acting because I'm 8 years old and I realized I could make myself cry by thinking of something that would make me cry. And so I thought I invented method acting. And I told all the older kids about it, like, oh, guys, I got a great plan. And I would tell everybody how to do it. And I thought it was mine up until I got older and found out it was just sense memory, and it had been patented by many people many decades before my birth, but I didn't know that. And so I kind of looked at myself when I got hip to that. I kind of realized I was a born actor, and I just wallowed in it.
Well, that sense memory, I remember while I was watching Pope of Greenwich Village the other day, there's a scene early on where Charlie and Paulie get fired from the restaurant. And Paulie's giving Charlie a hard time, and he's like, "Chalutz!" And he's got the two bottles of Remy there, or the bottle of Remy in his jacket. And at the end of the scene, there's a shot of him, and there's a little tear welled up in his eye. Do you remember that? And what if so, what did you draw on to bring you that emotion? Because I read like, oh, he's giving Charlie a hard time, but there's some shame there.
Well, that's the point. You have to let the audience know that your character doesn't know better, or else they're unforgivable. And if they're unforgivable, they're not embraceable. And Paulie was such an F up, you had to embrace him or you had to discard him. And I was hell bent on making him very embraceable.
Now, I remember reading that you had a hard time kind of pushing through your vision for Paulie. And I admire you because in a lot of roles, you have a vision for how you want to play the character and you're very committed to it and you stick to your gun. So that's great. Now, with Paulie, you got some pushback because you made the character more, a little bit more effeminate, a little weaker than, I don't say effeminate in a bad way, but in like a less masculine, traditional, it wasn't a macho guy. And you had the perm and everything. And then there was also you and Charlie would walk arm in arm. And I'm an Italian from New York City, and I know the village, and I live back there. But that was cool, that the way that you did that. What was your thinking around that? Because I know from reading your book that Mickey had some type of issues with that kind of behind the scenes. Like he didn't know if he really was buying into the way you were attacking the role, yet it worked perfectly.
Yeah, he was a big help, by the way. He was not a hindrance at all. You know, Mick was a team player for me in that role.
It was the first director who wasn't, right?
Yeah, the first, the guy they brought in to direct the movie originally did not agree with my portrayal. He thought I should be much tougher as is written and blah, blah, blah. And I tried to reason with him and said, no, but that's been done a lot. And I want to play something different that we all know about. Mm-hmm. And we all go, oh my God, yeah, I've like seen that. And he didn't want me to do it. So they brought in another director, Stuart Rosenberg, who directed a great movie.
Mm-hmm. The book was very good also. I don't know if you had a chance to read the novel, but it was a really good story, well written.
The book is one of my favorite books. It is fantastic, and it's exactly like our screenplay. We're very honest with the book. We're very loyal to the book because the book kicks ass, dude.
Now, out of all your roles, what one, when you think back and immediately say, that's my number one. Do you have one, or are they like babies where you kind of love them all in different ways?
Well, I made many movies, so I have many favorites. King of the Gypsies, mm-hmm. Star 80, Runaway Train, It's My Party, Love is a Gun, Purgatory. Those are my six favorites.
Really? Okay. How come you choose them? You had them right at the tip of your tongue there. What's the thinking?
Because they're on my brain's tip because I'm asked this question a lot, but also because they all change my life, those parts. All those parts change my life personally.
Now, as working actors, you and Eliza and now Mike, it's so busy out there. There's so many roles. What do you think of what's happened to Hollywood where it's not as centralized anymore, that there's so many more, there's a need for stories. There's so many more films and TV shows being made. I mean, I guess it's great for a guy like you, but how do you navigate that? And is it a good thing? And how do you pick and choose? Because you've got so many roles and I'm sure you have them lined up from, like Eliza's got them lined up for you between now and the end of the year.
I wanna interject something. At the top of that question, you called us working actors. Mm-hmm. We called our school working actor.
Ah, okay. Fantastic. Where is the school?
It's right here. You're looking at it.
Well, we do teach every Saturday here in LA.
Okay.
And also we do a lot of coaching and stuff. So, and we call it working actor because it's also a double entendre. Besides the actual work as an artist, we teach the business, the realities of the business and, you know, just how to filter through the advice you get from your agents and from other friends and what our view is of how to do this job.
Okay. Guys Radio, my special guests are Eric Roberts, Eliza Roberts, and Mike Tobin. Forgive me, Mike, we're going to get to you. The reason I've been focused more on Eric and Eliza now, because they're going to have to jump at some point in the broadcast, and we'll keep going.
No, that's great, because I'm just enjoying it, so.
We love you, Mike.
Thanks, and I love you guys, too.
Now, Eliza, you have so many different roles, whether it's manager of Eric, and he sounds like he could be a handful, casting director, actor, and mom, and really kind of the sun in the solar system of your family. Is there one of those roles that you enjoy more than the others, or are all equal?
Well, I mean, obviously the mom and grandma thing is just huge to the two-legged creatures and also the four-legged creatures or various different kinds of animals, fins and whatever. Centrally I'm an actress and everything else kind of stems from there. So casting was sort of a natural outgrowth of that, even though it's not viewed that way or didn't used to be. And then managing Eric was, as you say, it just seemed like we should bring this in house. Nobody had the sensitivity. It's also just a lot. You can't expect that of somebody. And there's so many layers to managing an artist, because a lot of it has to do with, you know, how they're feeling. A lot of it is psychology. A lot of it is emotional. There's just, it's a very holistic approach. Acting is my thing.
Got it. The entertainment industry, it's often celebrates success, but it hides struggles. Eric, what do you hope that readers experience from your experiences from drug and addictions and recovery? What do you want the readers to take away from this, from your story?
Well, many, many things. But since you brought up the drug addiction, to let people know they're our second chances, that you can start over, and you can start over even better than you were before, because you're older, you know more, you have more, you've experienced more, you understand yourself, and you stop lying to yourself at about 35, 38, you finally get tired of lying to yourself, mm-hmm. and you stop. You just stop one day. You get to go, what was I doing? And you realize that you were, but you didn't know it when you were in it. But once you're above it and once you see it, it's just an asset to understand. Mm-hmm. And then if you have somebody, then you can share it and you can grow from it. And you can, oh, yeah. And you cannot repeat yourself, because that's the pitfall. We repeat ourselves because we think we can get away with it. No, you can't. You can't.
Now, I'm going to assume that a lot of your personal struggles came from your family struggles. And both of you really had tough family situations at times. How did you manage to get through that? And how do you manage to put that into your work in a constructive way? Because to me, nobody can be you, Eric, or Eliza, based on your experiences. And a lot of it, I think, comes out, your personal experience come out through your work. Is that by design?
I'm going to let you answer that. But I just have to say that question, everybody has their story. Everybody has an issue to deal with, or many. And it's how you do it that makes you a winner or not. And my wife is my whole understanding of myself. I saw myself through her for many years, up till I could see myself through myself. And she was very kind to me. and I apparently needed that, because it altered me. And it was fun to do.
You want to add anything, Eliza, to that?
Yeah, that's really true. Kindness is like huge. Alice Miller wrote a book, well, many books, but The Untouched Keys. And she explores whether trauma is necessary in order to be creative, and why some people who, you know, had some kind of abuse in their childhood become serial killers, and some people are fine. No one's fine. But she explores that. And I really think it's a matter of really starkly questioning what you're going for. Some people, for instance, become parents because they want to boss someone around. It doesn't come afterwards. It's not like you're a parent and then you find yourself bossing these kids around. That's kind of your drive. So I think we all have to be really honest with ourselves about our drives. And And in that sense, you know, and that drive comes a lot from how you process the stuff that happened in early childhood and what you're still trying to do, even though it's, you know, it's not fixable. And you can't turn the clock back. You can't choose a different family. But you have to figure out what path that set you on. And that will really affect how you play your characters, what characters you play, whether you screw up your whole career and your life and your relationships. I mean, it's just a matter of really taking an honest look, not at the people who influenced you, but at yourself.
Now, Eric, you passed on a couple of big roles earlier in career in your career, like Jesus, you were going to work with Scorsese, and your manager talked you out of that. And I think there was a few others mentioned in the book. And then you had an opportunity, I think, to work with Tarantino. It didn't work out exactly the way you wanted, but obviously he's interested in you. Who are the folks that you want to work with now? I mean, you've done it all. You must have some, like, okay, I still haven't gotten that one. I still haven't worked with this person.
Well, I hate naming people because you if you name one, you know, you leave out three.
Right.
But Tarantino and I have a date that's yet to happen, and we need to make it happen.
I think you'd
Yeah,
be perfect in his films.
I'd like to see him work with Nancy Myers. See, I mean, that's like whole polar opposite end. But I mean, listen, there's some fabulous directors coming up. You know, just coming up through the ranks. It's true. There are so many. There's so many times we go to the movies or we see something on
And
TV,
I go nuts.
and
Yeah.
he's like, I want to work with them. Who are
That
they?
guy, I gotta work with that guy, that guy, that girl, I gotta work with them. Gotta do it.
Whoever's doing Paradise, for instance,
Oh,
when
that's
and we are friendly with Sterling K. Brown. I mean, there's just it's endless. There's a lot out there.
Now, as a Hollywood couple, obviously, Eric, you've been like a chick magnet for forever. And I think from what I read that you kind of took advantage of that for quite some time, and now you're with your rock for many, many years. How do you make it work? Because Holly, you know, people see you and they think you're the role, and they just want to, you know, bag a star type of thing. How do you manage all of that?
I got to be honest with you, the undoing of it all is the hard part. Because I had like a dozen stewardesses in a dozen cities, a lot of good stuff lined up for my fun and pleasure and travels, and it had to stop like overnight, and that was hard because I had a lot of phone calls to make, and it was difficult. So the first 6 months of our marriage were dicey, and she kept saying, "Where have you been?" Oh no, and but then after everybody was informed. It's been great ever since. And it has been. It's been really something. And I did not expect it. I did not think it was ever going to happen, but it did.
That's fantastic and really inspirational story. I think it was Roger Staubach said he was asked, you know, well, how come you don't have all these different women, your famous Dallas Cowboy quarterback? And he said, you can go deeper with one woman than you can spreading yourself around. And I've always remembered that. And when I met
Roger.
my wife in New York, she said, why are you still on these online services and stuff? Why don't we just go out and see if it works? And if it doesn't work, then you go out with who you want. But if it works, well, we've been married 16 years and we have a beautiful son. So it can work. So your story is an inspiration, and thank you.
Good.
Thank you,
Good.
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so in love with her even more now than I was then because I know what I have now.
That's fantastic.
Remember, we've done a lot of interviews about the book. You're the first one who brought that up, and I'm so glad you did because that was something that we decided to talk about, and it's universal, God knows. So I'm just glad you did because that's a fascinating subject and could go on and on forever and ever and ever. That's sorry, our travel agent. She's great. She calls a lot.
So what was the toughest area to write about, Eric, in the book?
Well, the hardest part is the drug addiction because you're so subjective when you're in it, and you're also intoxicated. So you're not honest on two levels. So you have to undo the dishonesty in order to write about it. That was the hard part. And because you have to be very specific and very pedantic, as it were. You have to really spell it out. You can't talk about it generally. And so I did. And
Was it very cathartic for you, Eric, to write the book?
Well, it was, but it was also, even now, just thinking about it, I could cry because it's such a waste of my time and my life. And then to write about it kind of confirms that. And so you get very depressed and you get very unhappy. But not as an excuse, but as a matter of fact, but I came out of it with this.
Yes. And it's right now that counts, right?
Yeah. And I'm so proud of her and I like her so much. And it's so much fun to have her. And she's funny. We had the best, funniest relationship. And that's half the package, dude.
Awesome. So my special guests on Guys Guys Radio, Eric Roberts, Eliza Roberts, Mike Tove. Let's get to Mike's project. I know Mike worked with Tom Logan, and I think you guys know Tom. How did this whole thing, yard sale, get together?
Okay, one sec before we start. Eric does have to go to do his photo session in just a minute. So do you want to give like a nutshell while he's still here, Michael?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll, right. I'll, yeah, you know, I do. Cool. But I want to take a half step back and make an observation, because one of the things, and I'm just going to say this, one of the greatest things about you guys is just what an incredible couple you guys really are. It's just remarkable to me. And tomorrow is my wife Mira's and my 34th anniversary. And I know that you guys are only less than 2 months off for that. So you're coming up on 34, right?
Yep.
And awesome, awesome, awesome. But you guys are just amazing and wonderful. And I tell everybody about you constantly because you really are. Anyway, so yard sailing. Wow. It was a film I kind of devised years and years and years ago. And just never had the opportunity to be able to put it together, because it's a whole lot harder to do something like that than what people who've never been in the industry understand. I mean, oh my goodness gracious. Talk about an eye opener. And so it fundamentally took the right people, and that started with Tom Logan. And you guys have known Tom for, Tom says, 40 years. So, Tom and I, about just over 2 years ago, we were just talking about some other stuff. I've known Tom for, oh my God, 10 years or more now. And I literally threw out, I said, hey, are you at all interested in doing a short? And he basically said, let's see what you got. And so I sent him the script and he goes, yeah, this is good. And he says, it needs work. So we spent work and 6 weeks tweaking the script. And then the next thing I know, we have a crew in San Diego, an amazing crew. And then we start casting. And Tom literally calls me up because, Eliza, you sent in a tape. And Eric was in the background. And Tom called me and he says, you will never believe who just sent a tape in. And he sent it to me. And I was going, oh my God, is this for real? And I said, I want them. I did. And immediately. And we, you know, and I mean, it took a little while to go through all of that. One of the concerns that Tom had was that he didn't want it to look like we were doing any inside favors. But Eliza, you were amazing from the get-go. And Eric, I always thought you would be fabulous as Senator Devin. From the very start, I just saw it. I don't know how else to describe it. And so what happened was, is that there was a, Tom had a medical situation when we were first supposed to shoot. And we had to delay it. Right. And because of that, that's how we got the both of you. And literally, I mean, as recently as yesterday, Tom was saying how great it was that he had to go through that medical thing, because it's how we got you guys. I mean, well, and
well, very this is a great example of like people hearing this story and knowing I make movies because it's so freaking fun. And
Yes.
I meet such cool ass people. And I have such fun every day of my life.
Okay, on that note, I have to take him downstairs. Are you guys
okay?
Guys.
All right. Here. Yeah. Eric. Oh my God. Eric, thank you so much.
You,
have a great time.
Peace out, brother.
Thank you, Eric.
Yes.
Okay, come on, sweetie. Take you down to Dave.
Okay. Eliza, you coming back or are you going?
He's coming back.
Yes,
okay. So Eliza's coming back on Guys Radio, and we've got Mike Tobe. So tell us, Mike, before you got to your kind of quote unquote lucky break that you worked so hard for, what was your path getting into the kind of system?
Oh my God. So I, way back, and I'm talking about 40 years ago, I knew I was a storyteller and I wanted to do that. Even further back than that, but I just made the decision, or just not even that, that I wanted to make movies because I'm a visual oriented person. I love film. And so I didn't have a clue. So what happened was, is I answered a cattle call for a feature film for The Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. And I got in, and from the moment I showed up on set the first time, and that was literally when I went to the location office for just wardrobe. I got bit by the bug so bad, and it was transformative.
Now,
and
did you have your SAG? How did you deal with the whole, you know, getting?
Oh, I didn't. I did a lot of films, always as a either non-union or union as an extra or a featured extra, mm-hmm. hoping to get a SAG card.
Right.
And I never did. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when I am now doing yard sailing and I'm in it, but I'm also the writer and I'm the producer, I signed my own Taft-Hartley.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I'm SAG eligible. I'm not joining because I'm not really trying to be an actor anymore. Secondly, I'm in North Carolina, which is right to work. So if and when SAG makes me join, I guess I will, but I'm not rushing to join the Screen Actors Guild, or for that matter, the Producers Guild or the Writers Guild. I'm at a point in life where the benefits of it are just minimal, mm-hmm. or not there. And why give up a portion of my earnings and so forth. So, but yeah, I mean,
now, do you have a manager? Does Eliza work? Do you work with Eliza or?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have a manager. I have a PR rep.
Okay, right.
And Lori, and that came from Eliza.
Right.
But other than that, no, I don't have an agent. I'm writing my own stuff.
That's fantastic.
I've got multiple scripts. I'm working on, I was working on three projects, and we kind of pushed one to the back burner for a little while. But I've got, four projects. Anyway, three. So I've got a couple of projects that I'm doing right now. And it's because I make friends in the industry and then we just do stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working on a feature that, Tom will direct and hopefully we'll have Eric, Eliza, and maybe more in it. And well, we need, but so, you know, and I mean, after that, I've got, I don't know, six scripts.
Let me ask you this, Mike, the different hats you wear. Which is the most challenging? Production is very obviously, being a producer, line producer is really tough, and writing, of course, you know, it's all about the writing. But for you, what's been the biggest challenge, and where have you kind of, what are some of the lessons you've learned?
Well, man, the hardest part is just getting the financing. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the tough part. But I'm not the one that's doing that. I have a production partner who is pretty good at that. And so I just leave that to her to do it. But everything else, it isn't hard. I know it's supposed to be, but writing to me is easy. literally. And then the producing is just because I'm pressing forward with the vision, and mentally I'm always organizing this stuff. My it's just the way I think and the way I am. So to me, it's kind of
So,
logical.
okay. My special guest, one of my special guests today, Mike Toe, we're talking about yard selling, his short film, award-winning short film, which features our other guests, Eric Roberts, who had to leave to go to a photo shoot, and his wife, Eliza, who's going to be back in a momentarily, hopefully. So when the different parts of the filmmaking process, how did, for those out there who are interested in following your path, Mike, what would be your advice? It is a financial business, and you have a production partner. How did you get your production partner? And they review the script and say, I can get behind this. I'm going to go pitch it. You need a showrunner or what?
Because these are people that I've known for a long time, and it's funny. Eric talked about how it's fun, and to me, it really starts off with making friends with people in the industry, and then just collaborating. Colette and I have been working on multiple projects for a long time, and Eric and Eliza, although this was the first project I've worked on with them, I have complete confidence and certainty that I'm going to be working with them again. And Tom and I are just really good friends, and we just, it's there's no magic elixir to do this. It's about developing connections, and people ask me, how do I break in? And it's like, well, you have to start. Hey, Eliza.
Eliza
Hey.
back. She's back.
And I'm talking about just how do you break into the industry?
Yeah.
And in my case, I'm saying you just have to develop connections. And then I was about to say that you have to become an absolute student of the industry. You have to train, you have to learn, you have to devote yourself to it, because it doesn't come easy and it doesn't come quick. And if you don't take it seriously, it won't take you seriously.
Yeah, well, you did. You're a master of that.
Thank
These
you.
days, it's changed so much, as you were saying, Robert, before. And these days, you really can. I mean, you create an actor's access profile, you start submitting yourself, you make sure that you consider it to be a job, and you don't slack off on updating your pictures and all your stuff. And it's marketing. It's like you got to be as good at that, and it's intuitive. So, you're looking for that tipping point, but you can't force it. But just start creating content. I mean, now we can do that. We're not sort of reliant as we used to be. But what Mike is saying is really true, to get an education so that finally the language sounds n like your native language, and you don't feel like an outsider anymore.
The other thing is that people who are outside trying to shortcut their way in and want to fanboy, it's recognized very fast by people in the industry, and at least in my feeling is it's a turnoff. I don't want to be around people who think that just because they're entitled for some bizarre reason that they should just jump in and they haven't paid their dues, and they don't know what they're doing, and they think it's so easy, and they think that anybody can do it because the greats make it look easy.
Interesting. So
Yeah.
it seems like when you read about projects nowadays, it's like you have to, because it's a financial business, they want to have a star connected. And it seems like with Eric and Eliza, they're like, you seem like regular people. And I put that in
Oh.
quotes, but like real people that, and Eric's got to be in demand because of that. Do you find that people sometimes take advantage that he's makes himself available to good material, whereas some other people make it really like hard to play? They play really hard to get.
Yeah, definitely. But it's just definitely that affects it. There's no question but that, we'll do a show and you'll find out somebody with kind of a lesser name and maybe a lesser contribution is getting a lot more money, whatever, but we can't force ourselves to be different from how we are. it would be very uncomfortable. And so therefore we kind of have the same headspace as the first day that either of us ever heard the words, you got the part.
Mm-hmm.
That's never, you know, we've preserved that. It never really disappeared. And I think for some people, it doesn't disappear, but an affectation takes place where they feel that they can't show that they're still excited about it. Mm-hmm. And people take advantage sometimes, or they'll take advantage of who Eric's related to and try to get to them through us and stuff like that. But it's not a big issue. It's always very manageable and very dealable. We're really grateful to be working, period. I mean, we really appreciate it. We continue to take care of our family. You know, our kids are grown and everything, but they're now they have kids. I mean, there's always, mm-hmm. you know, people need stuff, and that's why we're doing this. And so we're just really glad to be working.
Now you have you have a son. I don't know if it's a son or it's stepson who's in the music business, who's done very well.
Eric's stepson, and they say bonus. Okay. He's in the music business. You know, those businesses are cousins to each other.
Right.
There are very similar stuff going on in both businesses. He's in the music business. He's doing great, but it's really hard. Even people who have made it
mm-hmm.
Go through a lot of stuff, a lot of disappointment. And then my daughter, she's a chef and she caters movies and she's mm-hmm. a creator. She does those incredible cakes that look like other things and stuff. And she and her wife live really close to us, thank goodness. And they have two little girls. And her wife's a labor and delivery nurse. My family refers to her as the person in the family who has the real job. And we kind of envy her. I mean, you know, there's retirement and stuff. I mean, that's those jobs in the outside world are, they offer a lot that we can't offer.
People don't realize that. I remember in Eric's book, he mentions the fact that, you know, those people think that actors are just kind of printing money, and it's not necessarily the case. Being a working actor and working actors, it's challenging, and you have to be on it all the time. And one of the things I admire about some of the decisions you've made and how you've driven the process, Eliza, is that Eric, you know, he was open to music videos, and he's a huge music video icon because of that. And it's just, I guess, if you're trying to break into the business, you have to be open to a lot of different ideas. You have to be selective, of course, but you have to have an open mind. Is that true?
Absolutely, because I mean, it's all a gamble. So otherwise, what you're trying to do is predict algorithms, trends, you know, outcomes. That's exhausting and not fun to try to predict all that. So instead, you find one element that compels you to say yes, and then you just have a good time and let go. I mean, you're not there for the result. You support the project like we're doing right now, you know, mm-hmm. with the art selling, because we love it, believe in it. We love all the people.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, in the old days, I think they used to try to do that. It didn't work. It's never worked.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So yeah, just jump in.
Okay. One last question for both of you. What's your best piece of advice to our audience out there, burgeoning filmmakers?
Mike,
actors.
So funny.
Oh my God. My best piece of advice is to become a student of the industry and never, ever, ever give up, never quit, and never listen to the people who tell you what makes you think you can, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Eliza?
I would say do it. Start doing it right now. Put in that Malcolm Gladwell practice and absolutely just kind of eye on the ball and keep going in every way that you possibly can. And, you know, so that would be it. Definitely also study, you know, study the trends and the artists and what's going on. There's room for new filmmakers. Every year there are new people who come along. And in terms of what you said about it feels like you have to attach a name first to get your financing. Mm-hmm. Look at Anora. I mean, you know, look what happened there.
Yep.
Probably God knows how many people turned that movie down.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot that happens a lot. And then we make stars. I think the whole star thing first needs to end because it's ridiculous. And it's never been necessary. But I think just go for it. That would be my main advice.
Fantastic. Mike Tove, good luck. Yard Sailing is the movie. Look for it, everybody. Where can people see it out there, Mike?
Actually, it's on my website. So
what's your website?
EmeraldOakProductions.com.
Fantastic. And Eliza, anything new we need to know about for everybody to look for? I know Eric, so every time I go online, I see he's appearing someplace else.
I know there's so much. There is actually so much cool stuff. I would say for everybody to look at Hippo, which is a Danny McBride and Company production, and definitely Yard Sailing, because we really do love Yard Sailing. It was really fun and we really love it. And then just I kind of keep up with our IMDb pages because there is so much new stuff happening. There really is.
So thank you, Eric Roberts, Eliza Roberts, Mike Tove. Hang on for a second, but I'm going to close out our interview now. Thank you.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating conversation with Eric Roberts. I mean, wow. You know, Runaway Train is more than a Hollywood memoir. It's a testament to perseverance, accountability, love, and the possibility of transformation. I think listeners and viewers will come away, if you read this book, inspired by Eric's journey and his willingness to tell it all with such authenticity. It's really a wonderful autobiography, and I urge everybody to pick up a copy because he doesn't hold any punches. It's very true and very telling and very inspirational. And you know, Eric and Eliza are really, they're regular people and really nice people and super talented, and they give a lot back to the industry. And they have some positive things to say about Hollywood. They're working actors. They do their work. They show up. They do their work. They're professionals, and they're really nice people. So it is possible. We read all this stuff about Hollywood and all the like questionable stuff, what's going on there. But there are good people in the business. And Eric and Eliza, as far as I can tell, are top quality people, really nice to work with, and great, super creative talents. You've seen Eliza in Animal House. She was one of the gals, the co-eds who gets left at the roadhouse in one of those fable scenes in Animal House. And Eric's been in such great movies. My personal favorite is Pope of Greenwich Village, and I love the artistic choices that he makes. And I love the fact that when Eric gets into a role, he really commits himself. So I hope you enjoyed the show and our conversation with Eric, because wonderful actor, really good guy, and hopefully we'll get him on here again at some point. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.